Welcome to the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. We hope you're encouraged by today's message and encounter God's heart through it. To find out more about us, visit lifechurchstpeters.com.
We have announcements, then Randy's going to speak this morning. If you're a guest here this morning, if you're newish, my name is Tom Kyle. My wife, Randy, and I have the privilege of serving in this community. And our desire is that you would encounter Jesus this morning. Because he loves you and he's for you.
Thank you. I told Tom, fix me. And he said, I've been waiting 40 years to hear that.
What?
Yeah. So my name is Randy, and I, as he said, we have the privilege of serving and loving the body here. And I just want to say, hi, Sandy. We love you and we miss you. So I'm going to share a message that I shared with the ladies at the beginning of January. And we have a ladies meeting the first Saturday of every month, and it's called Saturday Sanctuary. And it's just a wonderful time for us to get together and connect and encourage one another. And we have wonderful fellowship and wonderful food. So I invite all the women, not the men, I invite all the women to come to that. And so I shared this message. And Tom asked me to share it again. Thank you, Tom. So if you've heard it, ladies, if you've heard this before, I pray that you get something new out of it, something different. So if you have paper and pen, I'd like you to get it out. Or if you have a phone and you take notes, just open it up. I'm hoping I'm going to give you something today to think about. I'm going to ask you some questions that just as you go about the week, or maybe you could even answer them today, I just want you to answer these questions, okay? So I'm going to let you into our marriage and let you know that Tom sometimes calls me a Grinch. He does. Just because a few years ago I didn't put up a Christmas tree. It was too much. I bought a Christmas plant. It was lovely. Was small, I hung lights and ornaments. I loved it. And then this year, he started it again because I wanted to take the tree down on December 26th. I had the time. I had the energy. And he said, you can't do that. And so I let it go for a little bit. So I said that I don't like Christmas. It's just, you know, it's a lot of work. When you're a woman, when it's the mom, when it's all of that, it's just a lot of work. And I like my normal life. I love just my normal life. So when January rolls around, I'm energized. It's like normal life again. I love my normal life. My favorite time of vacation is coming home because I get to come back to my normal life. He doesn't understand that, but I love it. And one of the things I love about January is I take stock. I'm not a resolution person because for me, they never work. But I just like to take stock. I have a fresh, clean slate, and I just ask myself some questions. So here's where the questions come in. Where am I? Am I where I want to be? And this is a biggie for me. Is my life running me, or am I running my life? Because you can get caught up, you know? We all can get caught up. And so I think about, what do I want? Here's question number one. What do I want for 2024 for me? What does God want for me for 2024? So our lives are supposed to be progressive, right? In Proverbs 4:18, it says, the path of the righteous is like the morning sun, shining ever brighter until the full light of day. And we've all seen it. We've seen the sunrise. You see how we see just a glimpse, and then it gets brighter and brighter and brighter. And our lives are supposed to be like that. We are going somewhere. We are heading somewhere. So what am I working towards? What am I headed towards? You know, it's easy if you're in university and you're working towards a degree, or maybe you're a school teacher and you see that end, you know, you see that June date coming. I'm going to graduate in June. Or if you've carried a baby, you've got a due date. You know, some of those things are easy. But then when you just get into normal life, you think, Well, so kind of what am I working towards? Is my path going brighter and brighter? And there's no condemnation here. We've all had seasons where we're just spinning plates, you know? And if we don't break any plates or if we only break one, that's a good day, you know? And that's okay. There's no condemnation. It's seasons, right? So ask that question to myself, where am I? What season am I in? I read one time in the passage, Proverbs 10:5. Know the importance of the season you're in, and a wise son you will be. But what a waste when an incompetent son sleeps through his day of opportunity. I want to be a wise son. I want to recognize what season I'm in. So ask yourself that question. Question number two. What season am I in? You know, we're in winter, obviously. It's cold. But there's all kinds of wonderful things going on under the earth, isn't there? I'm not a scientist. I didn't do well in science. And so I just know that we have to have everything that happens in winter for the spring flowers to bloom. And there's stuff that happens in the spring for the summer, right? And it just goes round and round and round. So when I think about the season I'm in, I think about we don't have any children at home anymore, which is both wonderful and terrible all at once. We are healthy. Thankfully, we can go out and do what we feel God calling us to do. That's a wonderful blessing. When I was home with little kids, I didn't feel like I had that opportunity so much. So I think about the season that I'm in, and for you, maybe there's some young moms and dads and you've got little kids at home, and it's tough. Or maybe your teenagers have left, and there's that heartache and that worry, right? Once they go out and you can't watch them anymore, ooh, it creates a whole, your prayer life, and it increases, doesn't it, when they leave. Or maybe you're taking care of a parent, or maybe you're taking care of a spouse that's not doing well. So there's all these seasons, or maybe you're newly retired, and it's like, what am I going to do at this time now? You're kind of excited and kind of like, what am I going to do? And so recognize the season that you're in. And then question number three is, how do you view that season? I always like to think of things like I have a pair of glasses on. You know, I wear glasses to read, but if I try to read with Tom's glasses, oh, everything's all distorted and blurry. Or if I leave my sunglasses on when I go in a store, it's all dark, right? So what is the lens that I'm viewing my current season in? What's it tinted with? Is it tinted with joy? Is it tinted with maybe some discouragement? Is it tinted with grief? Is it tinted just with how everything is so hard? So I remember back in 1993, I prayed for twins. Mm. Guess what? I got twins. Mm. And I was so excited. I remember the day I found out twins were coming. I was thrilled. I was so pumped. And then I realized, oh my goodness, we're going to have to get a new car. We're going to have to shift children's bedrooms around. We're going to have to do this. We're going to have to do that. We're going to need to get two of everything, you know? And it was quite a shift in our mind. And then when the twins come, the glasses that I put on, and here, this is something I prayed for. The glasses I put on was, oh my gosh, when am I ever going to sleep? How am I ever going to do this? And for about 2 or 3 years, the lenses I had on were how difficult it was.
Four
years. We didn't sleep for 4 years, and that's unless we were away from them. So that's a whole nother story. But what's the lenses I'm wearing? What kind of glasses are you wearing? How do you view your season, your current season? I came from a family where everything was, the glass was half empty, a lot of negativity. And do I have on the negative glasses? Because for me, when I was in that season with my twins being little, I feel like I missed some of the joy of that season because of the glasses I was wearing, because I was so tired. It was like I couldn't get over the tiredness to enjoy it as much. And you know what? I wish I could go do it again.
Yes.
I wish I could go do it again. Can I only see the difficulty, or can I see the good? You know, can I see the good? Sometimes I like to take a sheet of paper and I draw a line down the middle and I put the good stuff on the left and the bad stuff on the right. Sometimes the bad stuff list might be a little longer, but if I work on the good stuff list, it'll grow. I read a scripture the other day out of 1 Thessalonians 5:18, and I thought, ooh, this is for me. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So you know what I noticed this time, though, when I read it? It said, give thanks in all circumstances. It doesn't say give thanks for all circumstances. And I used to kind of think, well, I should just give thanks for whatever I'm going through. No, that's not what it's saying, is it? Give thanks in. There's always something we can be thankful for in, even if it's a tough situation. So it's not like, you know, some people say, oh, I'm so glad God made me sick so that I could do this or that, or I'm so glad God gave me, you know, this burden to bear so that I could learn suffering. I don't think that's what that verse means. I think it means give thanks in. So I was reading also, I like to read, in my Bible the other day, and I opened up a new Bible, you know? Brand new year, let's get a new Bible out, right? And I'm not a theologian, I will tell you. I don't want to debate end times with you or theology. I just know that Jesus loves me. Okay? And he's going to help me every day. In fact, my friend Sally Ball, Lauren's sister-in-law, she used to teach me. She was a mentor to me. And she just said, you read the Bible, you do what it says, and it works. And I thought, I like that. So I opened up my new Bible, and at the beginning of each chapter, it has the history. You know, it's a study Bible, so it has the history. Who the book is being written to, what the topic was, what the main purpose was, who wrote it, all that good stuff, when it was written. And so I read in 2 Timothy. Now, I've been a Christian since 1978. Yeah, I know. I'm that old. I've been a Christian since I was 1978. And I saw in 2 Timothy, it said this was one of the last letters Paul wrote. Like the last letter. And so it encouraged me to read that these were really, really important words to him. It's his last letter. And I got to thinking about, wow, what would I do if it was, you know, if I was writing a last letter? What would those things be that were so important to me? I remember hearing about, if some of you older folks might remember John Edwards. He was a political figure back in the early 2000s. His wife got breast cancer, and she died from that. And I heard that she wrote a book that when she wasn't feeling well, you know, she got out either pen and paper, typewriter, who knows, but she started writing down those things she wanted her kids to know about life, about her. And she was, and I thought, well, that's similar to 2 Timothy, right?
Yes.
He's writing those things that he really, really wants you to know. And when I visit my grandsons, when I give them a hug goodbye, I always tell the oldest one, he's 10. And I hug him and I say, remember, what's the most important thing? And sometimes he rolls his eyes a little bit, but that's okay. I love him. And he says, walk with Jesus. And I said, that's it. That's one of the important, important things I want to pass on to my family. Walk with Jesus. And if we look at 2 Timothy 2:1, it says, you then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. So this was a verse that this was a topic that Paul felt was really, really important. Be strong in the grace. And I thought, well, if grace is undeserved favor, okay, undeserved favor, how do I be strong in it? It's not like I can go to the gym and I can be strong and I can lift weights so that my arms are stronger. It's I can't go to a store and buy it. Nobody can give it to me. So how can I be strong? I can't achieve it myself. And I just began to think about that and wonder, well, how do I do this? I don't know quite how to do it. And I thought, well, maybe I should just think about maybe the areas that I feel a gracing on. Like you meet teachers and they have a gift. They have a gift to be able to impart knowledge to whatever age group they're teaching, right? I don't have that gift. I would kill the kids. I just don't. That doesn't. It just doesn't work for me. Or you see nurses. I have a close friend who's a nurse. She has got a gift of mercy. She's merciful to people. So you do see gracings, right, on people and their personalities and their professions. So I thought, well, that's one way. You know, be thankful for maybe areas in my life that I see it and identify it. You're not puffing yourself, but think, well, I have a grace to do, for me, I have a grace to love people. I really love you. I think you all know that. I have a gracing on my life to love people. And that's why we do what we do. Yes. We are graced. And I remember looking back over our life one time, we were flying to England, and as we were coming in for a landing, I don't know if any of you have had the opportunity to fly to Europe or to England, the green is so green. It is like nowhere else. And you see the rows, you know, the fields are separated by green hedgerows. And it's just so green. And I remember thinking, gosh, it's beautiful over here. I can't believe I moved over here twice with my kids. I thought, I don't know how I did that. And then I thought, well, I heard from God. That's how I did it. I was graced for that season to be able to do that. And so that's, you know, we look back over our lives and we maybe can pick out, oh, I was graced there to do that task. I was graced to work in that office. I was graced to work here. I was graced to do this. And so that's another way. Look back and see if you can spot it. And it says, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Well, there's a tip right there. Let's stay in Christ Jesus. Yes. We walk with him, don't we? And ask God for more. We can ask God for more. Ask for his grace to show up in unexpected places with unexpected people. You know, we pray for it and then we watch for it. I have a friend named Rhonda and she leads so many people to the Lord. I don't know how she does it. And one day I just said, Rhonda, I said, what do you do? How do you know? And she said, well, I pray. I pray for opportunities and then I watch. And I thought, that's a ticket there. I just pray. I only do half of it. I don't watch. Another thing about grace is we can give it away, can't we?
Yes.
We can show it to other people. We can be a conduit. And I firmly believe that as we receive blessing from God, we give it away. God feeds us. He blesses us. Yes. Now let's give it away. Be a conduit of grace. And in Hebrews 12, I noticed a verse that said, see to it that no one falls short of the grace of God. And I thought, oh dear. That means there's a possibility that I could do that. If he's given me that warning, there's a possibility I could do it. And I don't want any bitter root to come up. You know, that's the part that really gets me is, you know, sometimes I may not want to deal with something in my heart. I don't know if any of you are like that. It's like, no, I don't want to go there. But the part that scares me is I don't want a bitter root to grow up and defile my family. Yes. You know, that's the thing. So I think, okay, because of that, I will deal with the issue, whatever it might be. Yes. So how can I be strong in my current season? And here's another question for you. What about if I hate my season, my current season? I've had some seasons that I've really hated. I've had some seasons that were really painful. And as I talk about these next few things, I understand that there are many of you whose hearts are kind of cracked open and you're in a really difficult time. And so as I go through these things, I really mean them gently. I don't want it to be a cold glass of water in your face. I really want to tread gently. So I think the first thing, if you really don't like your season, is still giving thanks in it. Find something. You know, and it may only be your list. Maybe you've only got one or two good things, and the rest are all really bad. And that's okay. But I do think giving thanks is huge, huge. It changes the glasses you wear, I believe. I think also trust. In Psalm 27:13, says, I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I don't know if many of you have walked through a time so rough that you think, will I ever be happy again? Will I ever laugh again? We went through a terrible season in 2007, and we had people in the church hurt us. We moved down here from Chicago. We left half our children up north, which that's terrible for a mama. And I had to go out and get a job after being home for 23 years. I mean, my goodness. But it was hard. It was just so hard. And I remember going to work every day crying. I'd cry going to work every day. And and I remember thinking, will I laugh again? Will I have hope again? And I have to say, that's true, because I'm walking in the goodness now. But at the time, you know, it was rough. Another thing I thought of was, well, if I'm in a season, I really can't get out of it. I need to endure it. Hebrews 12:7. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? And that's not saying he's punishing you. He's not punishing you in this season. It's not because you did something bad and now you've got to go through this season. No, he's not punishing you. But he's saying life can be really hard. How do you view it? Can you view it as a discipline? And one of the things the ladies brought up were discipline. Part of discipline is disciple. And so am I just looking at the situation and the circumstance to disciple me, or am I looking to God to disciple me in it? That's much better than just looking at how bad it is, right? Yes. And I was the baby of the family. Maybe some of you can realize that. So was Tom, though. And my parents really didn't have many rules. And the rules they did have, I just thought were, well, kind of like suggestions. And so I got really, really good at going around things. You know, I just didn't deal with the rules. But as an adult, how many of you know you can't always do that? You know, and you're faced with a situation that's this mountain, and you just want to go around it. I want to go around it. I'm going to go around it. I'm going to avoid it. Instead, some mountains you got to go over. You just got to walk, got to climb it, and you got to go over. Or you try to go through it, which is really, really hard. You know, but we have a choice. So I had this thought that came in my head as I was thinking about how just see some seasons are awful. And I'm not a military person, but I remember hearing the phrase, embrace the suck. Have any of you heard that phrase? Embrace the suck. And so I literally typed in on my phone, military, embrace the suck. Do that. And there's a real nice little article there. And it talks about this man named Everett Alvarez Jr. And he was a pilot in Vietnam around 1964, and he was shot down. And one of his goals was to be the first Hispanic astronaut. That was his dream, to do that. And so, unfortunately, he was put in a prison camp that was known for its torture. And I don't know how long he was there, but it was a terrible, terrible place. And facetiously, it was called the Hanoi Hilton. Maybe some of you have heard of that. Nowhere near a Hilton. This was a terrible place. And so that phrase was formed there. And listen to some of these quotes. I thought this was so interesting about embrace the suck. The idea of being emotionally comfortable while being physically uncomfortable. I do not like to be physically uncomfortable. I can't stand to be hot. I mean, and think of how small that is compared to a place where you get tortured, right? Another quote, we cannot control everything that happens to us, but we can control how we react to it. We can choose to reframe it and actually learn something from the pain. And whenever I hear that word reframe, I change it. I change it to renew the mind. You know, I'm going to see, I'm in a terrible situation. I'm looking at something terrible. Okay, now, What would the Word of God say about it? How can I reframe this? How can I view this in a way that I can handle it?
Yes.
That I can walk through it with God? Here's another quote. Focusing on what you can control includes actively looking for ways to put the unexpected problem to work for you. You know, that's not something I usually think about. Focusing on what you can control includes actively looking for ways to put the unexpected problem to work for you. What meaning can you find in it? And it's like, oh, well, that kind of broadens the picture. You know, I've heard people say, don't waste the pain. You go through a rough situation, endure it with God, walk with God so that all your tears, all your pain isn't wasted, because you will reap later. And then the last one I read about embracing the suck, it means to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances. What's my attitude? What glasses do I have on? Can I find the grace for this season, right? Because when we do it God's way, there's a wonderful result. Let's look at Hebrews 12:11. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. How many situations have we gone through where we weren't trained by it? We just, maybe I'll direct it to me. I've gone through a lot of situations that I didn't do it well. And it took a long time to get through. I had a same job I referred to earlier. Every day when I was crying, I felt like I was just having to do something I didn't want to do that I shouldn't have to do. And I felt like I was, you know, the yoke of oxen, you know, you're paired with an ox, another ox, right? And I felt like I was fighting against that all the time. And my shoulders were so bloody and it was so painful. And then I would do the same thing again the next day. I did not get trained for it. I wasn't cooperating. I was just resisting this whole situation that I didn't like. You know, because I can tend to be selfish and I don't like to be uncomfortable. But what? Look at how great, what great news that is. Oh, whoops, it's gone. Can we do Hebrews 12:11 again, please? It produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have trained by it. And we all know anything we go through and what we learn from God, we can give it away to others and hopefully save others the pain of the trial, right?
Yes.
You know, this is what we try to do with our kids. So am I allowing myself to be trained by it? Or am I resisting it the whole time? Think of how many seasons in your life could have been shorter if your attitude was better. You know, I know for me, probably a lot. Yeah. So to wrap up, when Tom speaks, he does great, but hows. I just want to go over the questions again and just think about your answers. What do I want for 2024 for me? Again, not a resolution. I'm not going to lose 40 pounds and go to the gym every day. Have you seen the parking lot at the gym? It's packed right now. Wait till March if you're going to go. It's packed. Yeah. Can't do it. I laughed. I drove by. We have a brand new Club Fitness by our house. And I looked and there was not a parking spot left. And I just laughed. You guys are going to all be gone by March or maybe even February. I'm sorry. That's probably not very nice. But what do I want for 2024? What are those things? I looked over my list that I had, and there were just things about, I just want to be more God aware throughout the day. I want to listen better. I want to not be so busy with my agenda, what I've got to do today, that I don't think about, well, God, what do you have on your agenda for me today? You know, maybe there's some things that I might miss because I've got to get to the grocery store before it gets crowded. You know, stuff like that. Question 2, what season am I in? Identify it. Think about it. How would you describe it? Negatively or positively? What season am I in? Because each season has a purpose. And your next season is going to build on the season you're building now, or the season you're in now. Question 3. What glasses do I have on? How do I view it? Do I have on good glasses about this season? And the last one is, how can I grow in the grace of God in it? If Paul felt it was so important, he knows he's not going to be on the earth much longer. And if he felt it was so important to add that in his letter, then maybe I need to think it's important too. You know, how do I grow in the grace of God? Because it's freely given me, but how do I get more and grow more? So ponder those things and be encouraged. And you can put your Christmas tree away on December 26th. Thank you very much. I'm going to bring Tom up here now. Thank you.
So can I have the prayer team come up, please? And then we're going to close in just a second. And so as you were listening to Randy, you know, there are just seasons. And I think every single person in this room can relate in some way to the seasons that we're in, whether it's just challenges, or it may be a great season. You think, oh my gosh, I'm just so blessed. One of our children just got, she was afraid she was going to be laid off. Her company was part of an acquisition by a large conglomerate. And instead of getting laid off, she got a 40% pay increase. She got a stupid large bonus. You may think, well, you want to share? Because I'm happy. So it may not be a difficult season, but there are difficult seasons here in Resident. And if you want somebody to stand with you, if you want somebody to pray with you, I just need strength. I need hope that this isn't my now. This isn't my always and forever, and it's going to be with me for the rest of my days. Chances are that is not true, but I just want somebody to pray with me. I am struggling. In my mind, I'm struggling. In my heart, I'm struggling. I just want somebody to stand with me. If that's you, I want you to come up just a second, and we want to pray with you. I do have one simple request. Here is a sheet of paper. Does it look like a sheet of paper? Sheet of paper. It's not. It's three. There are three sheets of paper. It's my magic trick. I know. I've been practicing. In 1990, Randy and I moved from England. We'd gone to Bible school in England. We came back to the States. And we arrived with nothing. We arrived with absolutely nothing. We had given our furniture away. We lived in San Diego. We had just given stuff away. And we arrived in the St. Louis area, back in the St. Louis area, with nothing. And we began a process of filling a house, and it took a long time. Well, we have a family here, Andy and Steph Williams. Andy was up here as the dude with the funky accent. I so loved when his son Finn came up front. And he was bouncing around. I'm like, that's exactly the way I'm supposed to be with Jesus every day. Hey, how you doing up there? Oh, Finn, I absolutely loved it. It was beautiful. But this family came here a couple of months ago, and they moved into an Airbnb. And one of the beautiful things about Airbnbs is that there is furniture. There's furniture there. So they moved into a fully equipped house. How cool is that? It's awesome. But now they're moving out of the Airbnb to their own house. And their stuff is in England. Stuff they gave away. Stuff. And so here they are in a situation my wife and I have been in on two separate occasions. They need some stuff. And so my one sheet of paper is actually three. And here's an opportunity for this church to love somebody again. We are great at it. We have done this over and over again. Out in the foyer, on the Connect desk, you will find sheets of paper like this. They need stuff for the living area, for their kitchen, for the restrooms, for the basement. They just need stuff. And can I just throw this out for thought? In 1990, we lived in a house in St. Peter's, small little house, beautiful, worked for us. And there was a family in the church who knew we needed a barbecue because Randy needed something to do. I don't want her cooking indoors all day. How boring is that? Get her out. Let her experience nature. Go out in the backyard and barbecue, sweetheart. You're going to love it. You can experience the heat. That was where she started falling in love with hot. As she said earlier, she loves to be hot. Sorry. I'm going to stand over here. She's really bad at throwing, so I just need to stand still. She's going to miss. So this couple in the church, they said, we're gonna buy a brand new barbecue pit, and we'd like to give you our old one, which was a very nice barbecue pit. And so, like, yes, because this guy could cook. I mean, some of the people here in the church knew who that would know the name. This guy could cook. And so they came over to our house 3 days later, and they brought in this beautiful barbecue pit. And I was like, John, you haven't cooked much recently. And he said, no. He said, Nancy and I were praying. And we just kind of felt the Lord say, well, so you're just going to give him your old junky one. And you're going to enjoy the new one. And I was like, Lord is so good. Listen, John. He wants to tell you more. Listen, keep listening, John. So he gave us his brand new barbecue pit. And he said, well, if we're going to enjoy a new one, why shouldn't you? You've been serving the Lord just like us. And so here's my thought. If you have that ratty old sofa in the basement, be a blessing. Don't give that to anybody. Maybe take it out to the dump. And if it's not good enough for you, maybe dump it. So I'm not saying we all need to go out and buy new stuff. But I am saying when Jesus gives things, it's a blessing. Not full of my stuff. Does that make sense? So as an opportunity to give, as an opportunity to be a blessing, it may just be one thing. It may be two plates, five drinking glasses or something. There's a list of paper outside the doors in the foyer. Pick this up and just say, you know what, sweet pie? You've never used the crock pot. Let's give him that brand new crock pot. Okay, I just want to say as a correction, it was December 25th when she announced to me, we're going to take down the tree today. It was not the day after. And I didn't call her Grinch. I said she's being Grinchy. Subtle but pronounced difference. Jesus, help me. The weekend's almost over. I want to make it through it, Lord. Thank you, Father, for your goodness. Thank you, Father, for your kindness and your tender mercy. Lord, you're so good to me. Lord, I don't want to miss your grace. I want to find faith for the season I'm in. If it's a blessed season, Lord, let's extend it. If it's a challenging time, Lord, I want to learn what I'm supposed to learn in it. But Father, I do want to give you thanks, not for the difficult time, in my difficult time. Father, that I could hear your encouragement, that I could hear your strengthening, that I could hear what you have for me this day, today. Lord, that I can be a blessing, even when it's hard, even when I have to embrace the suck. Lord, I want to learn in the midst. I want to learn good things, great things, in the midst of my circumstance and my trial. So bless us as a family, Father. Bless us as a family. In all occasions, Lord, we would do good. Father, for those people who are hurting, we speak strength to them and courage and help and hope, Lord, that we would find you in their day of trouble. Bless us, Father, in Jesus' mighty, mighty name. So if you want to have somebody come and pray with you, please come on up front. Folks want to stand with you. We're blessed. We are released, encouraged to go find somebody and bless them on the way out the door. If you're new...
Thanks for checking out the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. For more podcasts and additional information, visit us at lifechurchstpeters.com.